Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Jason Hall, and Brandon Johns.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings. Jawan Jennings.
Throws it. Fakes the spike. In the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa.
Whoa. He has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores. On the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
My man, Nick Saban, up here answering questions about UCF at SEC Media Days. Jason's excited.
It's not a real football program, all right? Here's the thing. Like, enough with UCF already. UCF is a second-rate school with a second-rate program.
Hey,
I'm
hey,
so sick of UCF.
Calm down, Mike Bianchi, Bianchi lover.
What? He's the one who asked the question. I'm not a Mike Bianchi fan.
Sorry if we blew out your speakers there, folks.
Sorry about that, guys.
He just got a little excited. We
hate UCF so
we
much.
We talk about his hometown team
it's
in
not,
Orlando.
First of all, it's not my hometown, and second off, it's not my team. Let's get that straight.
The final question to Nick Saban was, does he feel bad for the group of five schools like UCF who go undefeated and don't get an opportunity at a national championship? Said he had tremendous compassion and respect for UCF going undefeated. But the committee did a good job with those who they selected. Unbelievable. And they asked him. They asked him. I'm kind of blown away by that. Nick Saban says, I've always been the advocate of playing 9 or 10 conference games and then a couple of other ones. It's been interesting today. It's got you got Jeremy and you got Nick and
Joe Moorhead,
and we'll have Barry Odom here in a little bit talking Dooley and whatnot. And Gene Chizik's about to give his opinion on Nick Saban. And we've got Christopher Gabriel from ESPN Fresno joining us right now. My man loves himself some Tennessee athletics, loves himself some SEC football. He's out there on the West Coast right now, killing it. And I'm just glad he came on with us, though he's feeling a little bit under the weather. What's up, my brother?
Well, my man Trey, first of all, let me give you a list of a couple of things you want to hear right off the bat. Congratulations on the new program. I am really happy for you and Jason and Brandon. Smart move by Nate Hodges and the boys at Fox Sports Knoxville. You do such a great job, and I couldn't be happier to see that you're back in God's country or the land of life champions. I know that people here are probably sick of me talking about Tennessee and referencing Tennessee and wearing orange to ESPN radio here, but you know what? Once a Vol, always a Vol. And finally, my friend, what the hell is going on with David Pollack and Aaron Murray?
You brought it up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just like picking. Maybe this is like picking fights. Look, Christopher, we both know that Aaron Murray and David Pollack probably have all the inside information on what went on in Georgia during that time. But my biggest problem is, Christopher, is that if you're going to come out and you're going to talk about it, you better add some context to it or nobody's going to want to believe you. Or second, nobody's going to take you seriously in what you do as a media personality, correct?
I mean, you are absolutely right. It's kind of like when you or me or somebody in our business does something or we reference something, and one of the first things that we'll hear is, do you have a link that I can look to, that I can look up? The bombs that these guys are throwing out there, the only thing that I can think of, and maybe this is a little bit simplistic, is that the last thing that either of them want, and mind you, David does a good job on game day, and Aaron does a good job with CBS, but the only thing I can think of is that their red and black is getting in the way of their judgment, because the last thing they want is for Jeremy Pruitt to succeed. And I got a good feeling that Jeremy Pruitt and the incredible staff that he has put together is going to bring Tennessee back onto the center of the radar where they should be, as opposed to where they haven't been for too long, Trey.
Let me, okay, and we've talked about this before, and I always love your opinion on this, because this kind of, and I have a best friend who lives out in Manhattan Beach, close friend, known him for 20 years. You were down in L.A. That's how you got the bug. It's because you're hanging out with everybody. But the biggest thing to me that stood out is when we talk about football, and I will text him on a Saturday when either college game day is about to come on, like 30 minutes before, you know, hey, man, you ready? I'll be busy the most of the day, but saying hey. And he texts me back saying, why the hell are you waking me up at 6 o'clock in the morning? What is it like on the West Coast to wake up and have your Cheerios along with the first SEC game on the network?
You know, it's a twofold situation here. On the one hand, when I'm not working, because I co-host what we call Game Day Live here for Fresno State football, so you know that gets us up early enough. But to wake up at 5:45 a.m. to watch college game day, and then for the first games coming out of either the Big Ten or the ACC, and we're watching them at 8 friggin' o'clock in the morning, it's kind of hard to, you know, get the brisket going and crack open a beer at 8 a.m. I'm not used to watching college football with Captain Crunch and a glass of milk. It really, I gotta tell you, it sucks. The other thing that's hard, maybe it's a threefold answer, is when, let's say, the Vols are, you know, they're going to be on at 7:35 Eastern, or somebody, you know, there's going to be LSU, Bama, or there's some big game going on that is a 4:35 start time here on the West Coast. Man, that's in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm doing something with my daughters or something going on, or, you know, we're at Bulldog Stadium covering the game, and suddenly, you know, it's halftime at our game, and your game is over. And it's been 3.5 years that I've been out here, and I still can't get used to it. The good side of the West Coast is on, say, Monday Night Football, when it ends for you guys at midnight or 12:30, and out here we're going to dinner at 9 o'clock or 9:30. So there's good and bad, but I got to tell you, it's mostly bad because, yeah, I think maybe I got a call from you at one point last year saying, did you see what happened, you know, XYZ, and it's like, Trey, man, it's 5:45 in the morning.
You did. I did. I remember texting you that morning, and I called you. I was like, did you see that? And then I remember I got the text like 3 hours later. Sorry, you text me at 5:45 in the morning. What do you expect?
Well, I've learned now that now for the Trey effect, you're now listed in my favorite at all time, because I know if you're breaking something, it's major news.
I appreciate it, Jason.
Chris, you're on the West Coast representing Tennessee. What's the perception out there in L.A. of the Tennessee football program and the current state of it?
Well, you know, I've had a chance to talk to people pretty deep inside Fresno State. And so from that group of folks, as well as just fans in general, the thought is that Tennessee is a marquee program that has lost its way. And whether, you know, you hear people from Fresno State saying that it was more because of getting rid of Phil Fulmer too early, or that it was keeping Phil Fulmer too long. You get that opinion quite a bit from fans out here. What you hear is that's a program that is big time. They have a great stadium. You know, Pat Hill has been to, you know, former coach at Fresno State has been to Knoxville on several occasions with different teams. And the feeling about Tennessee is that they are a sleeping giant. That this is what I hear more often than not, that they are a sleeping giant and they simply haven't had the right fit. You know, whether you want to look at Derek Dooley, which was just a terrible mistake, Lane Kiffin, who I think Kiffin had potential, but then, you know, he decided to jump on a plane and go back to L.A., Butch Jones, who I thought, and I think a lot of fans out here thought was going to do some things, but for me, after the two-year mark, Butch Jones, it was clear he was more about slogans and things like that, brick by brick and all that other nonsense, versus actually getting a high-quality product out on the field. Generally speaking, long-winded answer, I think folks out here are waiting to see what Jeremy Pruitt's going to do. Everybody knows his background. He has a tremendous pedigree. And the football people that I talked to at Fresno State, because I've asked, very much believe that this program within a couple of years is going to be back in contention for the SEC, and who knows what's beyond that.
Okay, Christopher, so we've had this conversation, but on the West Coast, what is the perception of SEC football in a whole when it comes down to them, you know, we have Pac-12 out there. You've got even, Mountain West Conference out in that area. What is the perception of SEC football as in, you know, especially if, you know, if they're getting two teams into the college football playoff? Kind of give your take on that. And then also, you know, when does a team from the West Coast really step up and we, you know, we start either getting the Oregons or the USCs or the UCLAs kind of back in the fold when it comes to a national championship?
Well, I'll take the second part of your question first. I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what Chip Kelly does down at UCLA, because all of us know what he did at Oregon. It was the right time for the right coach and the right system. And then he left, and things just sort of gradually went downhill. The complaint about Chip Kelly in Oregon, at Oregon, in the Eugene community, is that he didn't want to do the kissing baby thing. He just didn't want any part of that. A little bit like Mike Trout, where he wants to do his thing but be left alone. In L.A., he's not going to be able to do that because he is in a town 11 miles away from USC, in which USC just shows up and the lights go on and they're already talking about him. He's going to have to go out and do the kissing babies thing. If UCLA can get good, you're going to see a whole different Pac-12, I think. And I think you're going to see a lot of programs trying to go back and emulate what he did that he was so successful with at Oregon. And I think you're going to have to see a USC or a UCLA come out and get up to that level again, because I just don't think, with all due respect to the fine folks in the Pacific Northwest, I just don't think Washington and Oregon, or down in the South, in the Southwest, when you look at Arizona State, I just don't think that those teams, those programs, have the kind of marquee star power to make the West Coast relevant again. Now, going back to your original question, your first question, most people out here, Trey, have a reverential attitude towards the SEC. I know when Fresno State went to Alabama last year, the folks that went out there, from the band to the cheerleaders to the coaches to the players, one of their players, backup quarterback Jorge Reyna, was an intern here, and they just marvel at the size of the stadium, at the fervor of the fans, and there's a little bit of, I don't know if you want to say, it's not jealousy, but just, gosh, wish we could all fill up our stadiums the way they do it out there. Now, that's one part of it. The other part of it is that the idea is the fix is in. You know, when you get a couple of teams in the college football playoff, there's this thought that, well, we're going to put those teams in, and we're going to try to find a way to work it out so that, oh, look at that, Alabama and Georgia both got in. I tend to counter that a great deal, because, you know what, it's about winning. Go out, win on the field, and do your thing. And if teams out here stepped up their game a little bit more instead of whining about start times and nobody, for us, nobody on the East Coast sees what we're doing, and you know, then fix your start time. Start your games a little bit earlier so people on the East Coast will learn about you and understand you a little bit better. But overall, Trey, I think the feeling out here is that people are just in awe of the SEC. I have the screensaver on my laptop is of Neyland Stadium, and I get people stopping by all the time saying, "Oh my goodness, what is that? What is that like?" It's like you have no idea. So it's generally people really are. This isn't Big Ten country where people are always whining about the SEC. These are good football fans out here. These are knowledgeable football fans out here, and they have a tremendous appreciation for the SEC, the history of the SEC, and the passion of the fans out there. Because as you know and I know, it just means more in the SEC.
That's fantastic. Hey, so Nick Saban was on the press conference today at SEC Media Days, and I want to get your opinion on this when it comes to Jalen Hurts. He said, I expect him to be there. Well, first he said, does he expect Jalen Hurts to be on the Crimson Tide roster when the team flies to Orlando for the season opener versus Louisville? Saban says, I have no idea. I expect him to be there. I think it's our job to give both players a very fair opportunity to have a chance to win the job at their position. We'll create a role for one or both of those guys on our team, and they'll have to make a decision based on what the outcome is to what their future is. Jalen has a great opportunity to graduate in December, so we are hopeful he will stay there and graduate regardless of his circumstances as a player. But that's not to minimize his chances of making it as a starter or being a contributor to our team if he's not a starter. Is Nick Saban just out here and is going to put out this ploy for the next 7 weeks regarding the starting quarterback position to keep Jalen around. What do people out there think of Nick Saban? Are they over, you know, the press conferences and the way he is? He's not a bad person, just kind of the way he is. What's the feeling out there?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I have a segment on my program on Thursday at what would be 8:20 your time, and it's called Awkward Press Conference Moments. And it's audio of, you know, exactly what it is, an awkward press conference moment. And I just want to personally thank Nick Saban for supplying me with so much great material. Because nobody, between him and Belichick, nobody gives me a better material. And by the way, is the Coke bottle on top of the podium in Tuscaloosa? Is it cemented on there? Because for the amount of times that Saban bangs that podium, that bottle doesn't move.
That's true.
Here's what I think. And I'll use this parallel. The NFL came out with their decision that if you're going to be out for the national anthem, you're going to stand for the anthem. If you don't want to stand for the anthem, then you can stay in the locker room. I think the NFL exacerbated an already insane situation and problem by doing it that way. I think we're going to see entire teams staying in the locker room, and it's going to take front and center stage. I think Saban dilly-dallying around with Hurts or Tagovailoa, and am I saying his name right? Because for as many times as I've said
we had to look it up, and I had to look up the pronunciation. Tagovailoa.
I think that...
Oh, Tagovailoa. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, that's it.
Tagovailoa. Okay, because really, it sounds... I mean, it almost sounds like something that you come down with, like, oh, my gosh, Tagovailoa.
Right.
But I think that Saban, for all of his... Oh, it's going to hurt me to say this. For all of his brilliance as a coach, I think he is potentially opening up a can of worms by leaving this situation hanging in the balance. I'm a believer in you go with one guy, and who that guy is between those two, tell you what, Hurts has done a lot of good things for that program, but man, Tagovailoa, I'm already saying it wrong. I'll call him Tua.
There you go.
Right. I've just stuck with Tua myself.
Yeah, what he did in the second half of that game against Georgia, that final play, you just can't ignore the fact that his legs are as good as Jalen Hurts, but his arm is a heck of a lot better. He seemed to have great vision of the field. He seemed to read Georgia's defense and what they were throwing at him brilliantly. I'm really surprised that he's going to let this hang out there. It sounds like he's trying to make sure that he ensures that Hurts stays on the team the whole season and doesn't just decide to walk out. I'm not sure what your sense is there, but to me, this reads like disaster waiting to happen inside the locker room.
Chris, you're an SEC guy and you're out on the West Coast. A coach that did a similar thing at USC that got him his current head coaching position at LSU, Ed Orgeron, what do you make of his job status entering his second season as a full-time head coach with the Tigers?
You know, there are still people down at USC. There's still people down at SC that are upset that they didn't make Orgeron the full-time coach. The players wanted him. The alumni wanted him.
The alumni did? That's kind of surprising because I figured he was just so un-LA and so Louisiana that I thought the alumni would be the ones that were saying no.
Well, you know, I went to SC, and I can tell you that, you know, having a lot of connections there, folks really liked the fact. Your point is well taken, but what folks really dug about him, alums really dug, is that here was a football guy.
Right.
Here was a guy that harkened back to the days of John Robinson. Student body right, student body left, beat the hell out of him at the line of scrimmage, and throw the occasional pass, the deep ball downfield, you know, and a tough-nosed, hard-nosed defense. That's who Orgeron is, as you well know, mm-hmm. and that's what alums loved about him. But it didn't work out that way. Then he goes to LSU, and as all of you know only too well, he was the choice of the people. He's one of our guys, right? He's a Cajun guy. We want him. And now I think this guy is on the hot seat. I think he needs to produce big time or he's going to get run out of there, no different than Les Miles did. I like Ed Orgeron, but if that guy, if he can't get an offense that can put more than 10 points on a board, against quality competition, they're going to run his butt out of there.
Sticking with the Trojans, what do you make of Clay Helton's chances of contending in the Pac-12, especially with the departure of Sam Darnold at quarterback this season?
SC had a great recruiting year. They always do, but they had a great recruiting year, and they've got a lot of depth coming back. Darnold For all of Darnold's greatness, I think that SC is going to struggle just a little bit. I don't think that I wouldn't make SC my choice. You know, in their division, that they wouldn't be my choice. I think they're gonna struggle a little bit early on. But I do think that Clay Helton, he has. You know what? I was on his case in a major way when he first took over. I just thought this guy is just not going to work. There is absolutely no way that this guy is going to work. In fact, I thought less of him than I thought of Ogeron because he seemed even less LA. You know, with Ogeron, at least you've got a big personality. With Helton is the guy who's sitting on the third floor of Doheny Library on USC's campus just saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do a couple of things like this, and thanks, I don't want to talk anymore. I mean, that's what Helton is like, but Helton has won everyone over. I think the battle that we're going to see in L.A. is not only going to be the Cardinal and Gold and the baby blue and gold, the boys up in Westwood, but we're going to see a battle of media, of press conferences, of pressers, between what Chip Kelly does and what Clay Helton does, because Helton really is the guy. You know, he's established there. USC in Los Angeles is like the Cubs in Chicago. The Cubs own Chicago. The White Sox have 35th Street. In L.A., for football, it is 80% SC and just a smidge, for UCLA. I think Helton's going to do fine, but I think it's going to take him another year after Darnold's departure.
My man, Christopher, I so appreciate you coming on with us, brother. Tell everybody where they can follow you and listen to you every day, and I so look forward to having you back on, and I'm sure I'll be texting you later on.
Well, you can listen. You know you're welcome on my program anytime. We're going to get you back on the program. People can follow me on Twitter, at PG Program, and they can listen to me on 940 ESPN. I don't think that I conflict with your show because I'm on out in beautiful East Tennessee, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Thursday, and then I do a morning show on Fridays. On Fridays, I do your time. It's 8 to 10. But listen, what a treat it was to hang out with you and the boys, and continued great shows at Fox Sports Knoxville. You know what? There's a lot of good radio out there, but you guys are a needed show. I've checked you out before. I'm loving what I'm hearing. Anytime you want me, you just give me a call, my friend.
My man, thanks, brother. Look forward to talking with you soon.
Right on, man.
That's Christopher Gabriel, man. He's so much fun. He really is, and he brings it. Great radio show host and reporter out there in Fresno, California. Loves his Tennessee athletics. Kind of grew up here in the area. Went to USC. Man, can't find a better guy. On the other side, we're going to talk more about SEC Media Days, Nick Saban, everything else that's going on around the country. And we'll see if Larry Fedora is on the street corner yet holding up a sign saying the end of the world is near. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.
I might be too strung out on compliments, overdosed on confidence.
We'll get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
That's Larry Fedora at ACC kickoff. So glad that...
That's a little bit dramatic there, Larry.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God he's not in Knoxville. That'd be rough.
I don't know. How do you think the fan base would take that?
Well, after something like that today?
Is a real football guy? Or?
Goodness gracious.
I don't know.
He'd have been an embarrassment.
He almost was. He was a name that was thrown out there a few years ago.
He was a name, but it's...
I don't think it was yet. It doesn't mean it was valid, but...
I mean, it is what it is. That blows me away. It's, you know what, it's
football.
Like...
football. Don't like, mess with muh football.
Right. It's like... Jeremy Pruitt says stuff like woulda. Like he would have been, or like... what? But he said it sounds like WTTA.
Yeah.
Woulda. But it's not, yeah. So speaking of like Larry Fedora crap, I was down in Gainesville... How many years ago was it? I don't know. 7, 8 years ago. No, it was longer than that because Tennessee won a game. I had traveled now with my dad. And outside of the gate is where all the people with the sign saying the world's coming to an end.
Oh, yeah.
That's where
Street
they hang
preachers.
Out. Right. That's where they hang out right outside the gate of the Florida game. So you're like, that's what I remember about that. It's like you're walking up the rampway to get to the north end zone or stuff right. like that.
And I know what you're talking about because last year was the first game I ever went to because Tennessee yeah. was playing there. And they had monks and they had a Muslim dance going on or something like that right. outside the state. There were several groups of people that I would have never expected to be camping out at a Tennessee-Florida game outside
just
of
just hanging out, Ben
Hill, Ben Hill G.
I thought it was something else. Been to a couple games. Down at, and the reason I brought this up is article written by Pat Doolin in the Gainesville Sun. That we're talking about the attendance.
Mm-hmm.
At away games,
right?
Being so down, and we kind of talked about that last week with Florida sending back so many tickets. I think it's something where I don't think it's something that I'm sure the I don't know if it'll get brought up at SEC media days, but I just don't think it's something that will be end up being too big of a deal because you're still going to get the home team to sell out the games. You know, like the Tennessee Florida game, that game will be sold out by the time it comes around.
I mean, just an eye test. Like I said, I was at that game last year. I didn't think it was as crowded as I thought it would be.
No, and I've sat in, like, the visitor section at Florida a couple times, and I've sat in the press box and stuff like that. It's interesting to see the way universities are changing that around. But, okay, here's a perfect example. At Tennessee, they used to put all the fans, most of them, in the corner.
Right.
They would put the band. They had that block. And then they would have that whole little corner up there till about 10, 15 rows.
For the visitor section.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they changed it.
They still do that, though.
No, they changed it and put, you had one little block down there on like the 10-yard line. Yeah. Probably, I would say like 1,000 tickets. You had the band and you had the block.
The sea of blue.
And then when you look up into the upper deck, I guess south end zone, it's all full up there.
Yeah.
So it looks like Tennessee has been trying to figure out a way to move visitor fans around for the last 10 years.
I was up there in Ben Hill, like where our tickets were like the very end corner of the end zone. So, and the end zone that Butch Jones called shotgun on, we were in the very last section of that.
Oh, you were at that game?
Yeah, last year.
Okay. Wow. Tony Aguilini says, was it 2003? The hair Christmas have a big thing outside the north end zone every game. Fun folks. Yeah, it actually was. It was 2003. Thank you, Tony Aguilini. My man, at Tony Aguilini. Follow him. He's a good Florida follow. But it was. So that's always fun. Going on the road games.
That is what it was. It was the Hare Krishnas.
Yeah. So great people. But it just adds to the excitement.
Oh, they were fun. I was like, this is pretty dope.
Of college football away games. I'd really like to hear some stories from folks about their travels to away games. You can call us 865-546-8200 on the McKinney hotline. And we'll get into a little bit more about what Jeremy Pruitt has said. And also we'll get into a little bit about good old Nick Saban and about his comments. I still think it's with Nick Saban, the QB controversy with Jalen Hurts and Tua, Tua's going to be your starter. Jalen Hurts will be the backup for a little bit, and then he'll be able to transfer. You were going to say something, brother?
I just saw something pop up on Twitter from News 5 WCYB in Bristol, Virginia.
Oh, what do they have to say?
Report, Tennessee among the top 10 worst states to live in.
Good.
Ouch.
Well, it was out of Virginia. So it.
The Virginia border.
ESPN just gave me an update on Nick Saban saying, I expect him to be here on Jalen Hurts. ESPN just gave me an app update that says, Nick Saban expects Jalen Hurts to be here.
Well, what are you like?
Don't give me that. I mean, that's not news.
No.
It's not news. That's just Nick Saban saying something.
It's like the weather app saying
it's
hot
outside.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that.
Nick Saban loves the weather app, by the way.
What's that?
Nick Saban loves the Weather Channel, by the way.
Nick Saban makes the weather.
That's, yeah.
Fair point. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I don't know. It's interesting to see. Everything looks to be back to normal between David Pollack and Jeremy Pruitt. They're sitting at a table having an SEC Network interview, which I would have loved to.
Oh, speaking of which,
Pollack say something. You know, say what he was going to say. What?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The David Pollack, Jeremy Pruitt sit down.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that. Go back and see how that went over. I'm sure Zach Stipe, the great football communications guy at Tennessee, probably told Pruitt maybe, I guess, you know, what he had said, something along those lines.
Oh, he had to have heard.
Right. You always, yeah, you always prepare yourself for that, so I'm sure that that
I don't take Jeremy Pruitt to be Mr. Social Media, but I'm sure he heard.
No, I'm sure Zach told him, so it's probably a good heads up. We'll catch a break here. On the other side, we'll come back and give our kind of final thoughts on what we think about Pruitt today, talk a little bit more about Missouri and Drew Locke for Heisman. They're going to be coming up and talking here in just a little bit. Yeah, well, that's y'all's Heisman candidate, so it's not mine. It is what it is. We'll talk about it more on the other side. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional.
Brandon, this isn't a Drake song. What are you doing?
My apologies.
I don't even know what kind of song this is. Alabama's QB, still be determined. Goes with Tennessee as well, and Florida.
Shocker, yeah.
And a couple other places. Okay, you had some news. Oh, here's some basketball news. Michigan and Beeline ink a 5-year extension. It's college basketball.
All right.
It is what it is.
Beeline?
Coach Beeline.
Oh, Coach Beeline. I thought you meant Beeline like the buses. That's New York. Never mind. No. I was like, what are you talking about?
You're such a Yankee.
Why are you Scottish?
Because I'm Wallace.
Okay, but like, what does that have to do? Whatever. Anyway.
Yankee. Give us the headline.
Kawhi Leonard traded to the Toronto Raptors.
You probably got a call like, hey, send me to Toronto. Wait, what?
That's what happens.
Sending me where?
Where do you expect to go when you're
shipping me
in
to
the
Canada?
West Coast and you prefer to go to the Lakers, which Greg Popovich has a history against? Like, historically, the Spurs' biggest rival during the Popovich era were the Lakers in the early 2000s, the biggest threat. And then, oh, they just got the best athlete on planet Earth. Yeah, let's send Kawhi Leonard over there and actually make them the best team in the – well, except for Golden State.
Can you imagine Kawhi's reps calling him late last night or losing my
– Hey, Kawhi, is your passport updated? Are you good?
I mean, it has to be because they played the Raptors, so.
Yeah, but they get like an in-and-out type deal.
Burgers?
Oh, my God. No.
This is what happens.
It's like a work type deal. They don't have to, yeah.
When you try to push around a coach that's been around the block, wins championships, look at Collins that
Belichick shipped him to Canada.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You guys are like really making like.
I love it.
They sent him to Saskatchewan or Saskatoon. They sent him to Toronto.
Toronto's great.
Toronto's a great city.
Yeah. Probably got sent to the last place any American athlete would want to play.
The Six is pretty dope, man. Hey, listen.
We just played
a whole Drake bumper show, and now you're going to hate on Toronto? Really?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Speaking of which, that's another headline we're getting to in a second. But.
San Antonio to Toronto.
That sounds like an upgrade to me.
It sounds like the Spurs got the better end of that deal.
Well, they did. They got DeMar DeRozan, who was the franchise player
for
the Toronto Raptors.
And then who was pissed off.
So it was a franchise player for a franchise player. They got a dependable center, and they got a protected first-round draft pick for Kawhi and Danny Green.
Imagine waking up one day, and you're the star player on your team.
The thing is,
even at your business. And then they're like, you know what? We appreciate everything you've done for the city. We know you're invested here. We know you're our star player.
Oh, it's deeper than that. The fact of the matter is, two years ago,
shoot you to
DeMar
Texas.
DeRozan, who was from Compton, could have gone to L.A. and been the star of the depleted Laker team, would be playing with LeBron James right now.
Right.
And Lonzo Ball. And whoever else the Lakers put together on that roster. And instead decided, I'm going to have more loyalty to the franchise that has been my second home and my first NBA and only NBA home and become the all-time leading scorer for the Raptors, surpass Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, all these players
early in
Raptors history. And, oh, wait, never mind, I got traded. Blake Griffin, showing the NBA is still the pettiest league in all of sports, had a gif he just tweeted of himself sipping tea. Similar situation to the Clippers shipping him off to Detroit for Vol for Life, Tobias Harris, and a few other players.
I forgot about the Pistons. With that being said,
Toronto took me to realize what Blake was doing. I was like, what does he have
outside
to do with
this? Of Detroit and Milwaukee, Toronto might be the last place any American from the South would want to go play.
He's from L.A., though. So
Which is night and day weather compared to Toronto.
That's even more so.
He got sent north to the wall.
But the fact of the matter is, that's the point. That's why it's a stupid move for Toronto. If you're getting Kawhi Leonard a top five, top ten player.
And then he says he's not going to even play, maybe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you get Kawhi Leonard, who's undisputably a top ten player in the league right now.
Agreed.
Especially long term. He's only like 26, 27 years old. It's one thing if he's signed for 4 or 5 years. He's going to opt out next year. Regardless of whether he decides to stay or not, he's going to opt out and try to get a new contract.
Hell, he might opt out in his mind and not even play this year.
Well, exactly. So either way, you're kind of shafted in this deal. You give up DeMar DeRozan. Greg Popovich is going to get the most out of DeMar DeRozan. I saw somebody call him a Kmart Kobe on Twitter, but DeMar DeRozan's a very good player. He's a 4-time All-Star. And he's only 28 years old. He's still in the prime of his career, and playing under Greg Popovich is going to do wonders for him.
I'm so sick and tired. Okay, we talked about that. She'd been shipped to Canada. Update your passport. Congratulations. Saban said he wasn't saying Pruitt wasn't disrespectful to Rick. Saban just never saw it. Saban added that Pruitt was respectful and loyal at Alabama, and Tide players respected Pruitt.
What would Saban know about Mark Richt and Jeremy Pruitt at Georgia?
I think he just said, like, nothing. Like, he's staying out of it.
Saban said he wasn't saying Pruitt wasn't disrespectful. This came from somebody in the Knoxville
local
media. I don't understand why he would have any insight about that.
Yeah, he's just not confirming or denying it.
Right, I just don't think this guy does.
So he's basically saying, I don't know I wasn't in Athens?
Exactly.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know
why. Why would you even ask Nick Saban that?
Yeah.
Unless it was, what was your experience with Jeremy Pruitt? Was it similar to this? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything went great with Jeremy. I have no idea why they would even ask him that.
I don't get it.
Hey, Brandon, what's your opinion on Jeremy Pruitt and Mark Richt's relationship at Athens based on you not being there and knowing nothing about it?
Well, based on, you know, as you said, me not being there and knowing absolutely nothing about it, I guess I would have to say nothing, which is kind of what Nick Saban just said. So, other news, you got Dodgers on the verge of a trade for Manny Machado.
Is that not done yet?
Not yet. Deserted Island. Revis announces retirement.
Yep.
And Antonio Brown will grace the cover of Madden 19.
Oh, boy. My Pittsburgh Steelers. Wave those yellow rags.
I don't even know. Somebody just tweeted. I'm not so sure about this Trey Wallace guy. He just read somebody's tweet word for word on air. Look, I'm new to Knoxville, but it was somebody in Knoxville media that really doesn't know how to tweet. And he's
He's complaining that you read a tweet?
Yeah.
Should we read his tweet?
He sounds like an old grumpy man yelling at a cloud, but whatever.
Here's Jeremy. Let's see what he says. He was always fair and honest as a coach. Saban on Pruitt. I've never seen that side. It's kind of surprising to me to hear people say that. But because I've never seen it. So they're talking about – Nick Saban's talking about Jeremy Pruitt and everybody else calling him out for the bad behavior at Georgia.
Oh, I see what you were talking about. Never mind.
I was going play-by-play with the audio thanks to A to Z Sports in Nashville.
You're just getting suited to the Knoxville area.
Yeah, I'm getting suited. I don't know who to talk about. I don't like the person.
I don't.
Look, man, disgruntled ball fan. I love you.
I apologize to you. I thought you were the grumpy old man yelling at a cloud, but I see what you're saying now.
No,
DGV.
No, I was having fun. I think this is. I think it's.
I don't think it's so much the tweet as someone just said it. It's not the tweet. It's who tweeted it.
We know now. We've got it.
It's all good. I didn't know what the hell he was saying anyways. Let's go to break. It's optional on the read. I was about to say read optional. Fox Sports Knoxville, get us out of here. It's optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. Not the read optional. Barry Odom, the head coach of Jason Hall and Brandon Johns, Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yep.
Drew Lock is on the stage right now. And I'm just going to go ahead and turn him off. be about.
Yeah, I really don't want to listen to Barry Odom, to be honest.
If they'd have said Dooley, just let him show up. Just don't do like a Q&A out sign. Other news from SEC Media Days. Nick Saban didn't run out of gas on his boat this summer.
What?
It was a pump failure problem.
I vaguely remember that story.
God bless. They ask about anything and everything.
Well, you know, they're sending...
Anyone ask him about the prank call?
A record how many bloggers and journalists to Media Days.
That's true. I just didn't feel like making a drive. I'm glad we got all settled in now, I guess, right? Because, yeah. Let's see. Ross Pierschbacher makes a great point that since he's arrived on campus in 2014, there's been a QB battle every year, so it's nothing new for Alabama as much as everyone likes to point out. I agree.
That is true.
But was there a QB battle last year with Jalen Hurts?
No.
No.
Not really, but...
No, who was...
I guess there were people who thought Tua should have started.
Right, but we all knew...
And maybe there was, in theory, a quarterback battle that, like, if Tua was just unworldly and you couldn't ignore starting him, but...
Yeah, but we all knew who the quarterback would be starting the season. It was going to be Jalen Hurts,
but
right?
1 year before that, you know, it was a three-man quarterback battle, and the year before that, it was a quarterback battle. So it's pretty much been a quarterback battle since John Parker... not John Parker Wilson. Since A.J. McCarron.
I agree, but I don't think this is... I don't know. This is already going to get old, and we're just at media days right now. I'm just ready for college football to kick off, man. That's all there needs to be.
What is your take on the Drake Finesse shirt, by the way? Since that's why we play Drake for 90% of the show.
I mean, just wearing a Tennessee sweatshirt. I mean, I'm sure Kentucky fans are pissed. I mean, he's been their ambassador.
I don't think anybody really takes that seriously, that they think Drake has any allegiance to any team except
Drake
for Toronto.
Drake is not any kind of Tennessee fan. Drake is like Kenny Chesney.
His dad's from Memphis, man. Yeah, Kenny Chesney's a bandwagoner. I don't know why he gets
He'll
away with
wear
that.
Any kind of
Kenny
shirt.
Chesney's 10 times Look. Worse than Drake about that, though, because Kenny Chesney is from Knoxville and will wear every single team in the SEC's
That's
paraphernalia.
Where his fan base is.
And I called him out on that when he was the guest picker my last semester at UT, and his manager turned and laughed and was like, well, you know, man, we're just trying to sell tickets.
Exactly,
something.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't shy away from, yeah, our guy's a bandwagon fan.
I don't even think he's a bandwagon fan. He just likes money.
No,
Make everyone think you like their team.
But dude, wearing a Gators helmet and being from Knoxville and doing the chomp and everything, come on.
Look, we're not talking Kenny Chesney here, but I will say he's from East Tennessee. He probably holds a deep down place in his heart for the Vols, but how he will, if you pay him money, he'll put on anything and everything in relates to a different school.
As will I.
Is right. I mean, we both will.
Give you $50.
Okay,
to
I will.
Shirt tomorrow.
I will Deal. Make. I lost a bet in my senior year of high school.
What was that? What's your?
And I'm not going to tell you about the bet. What I think it was on a football game. Whatever. Yeah, it was an Alabama football game. They were playing the SEC
championship. I thought you meant your football game. No. Oh, it was a high school football game.
No, we were betting on an SEC championship game. Okay. Alabama was in. I was like, ah, this team's going to beat Alabama.
What year was it?
I think it was Florida. I don't know.
Let's see if you can date yourself again.
05.
05?
04, 05. No, 04 would have been senior high school. So, yeah, 04.
Okay.
If I lost a bet,
that would have been Auburn then, right?
I think so.
It was the year Auburn went undefeated.
Yeah.
04.
I lost a bet. And I had to shave my head into a mohawk.
Sweet.
And wear an Alabama jacket.
Ooh.
For a week. Here's what I forgot. I forgot I was going to take passport photos the next day.
Oh, dude.
So I rolled up into the post office.
Yo, we're not letting this guy into our country.
In the post office in Mobile, Alabama. I'm wearing an Alabama jacket, which I first of all can't stand.
Right.
And I've got a straight mohawk. Like, they gave me a mohawk. And I rolled up and I was like,
Legion of Doom mohawk.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, I need to take a passport photo. The lady goes, are you serious? And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm serious. She goes,
I lost a bet.
She goes, I lost a bet. She goes, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Germany. She goes, well, this is going to go over well.
Oh, dude, so, you'd fit right in Germany with that look, though.
I took the mohawk photo. I get through customs. I'm going through everywhere in Atlanta. I get it back. It looks like a mugshot. I'll tweet it out here. Oh,
we got you.
Day.
You can't go on the story without.
I've still got it in my car.
Showing these pictures.
I've still got it in my car. The passport. And I'm wearing an Alabama jacket. I'm traveling the world. And everywhere I go, I literally they check my baggage everywhere I went. There was not a in Berlin and Frankfurt and Worms. Everywhere I went, my baggage would check.
What a horrible name for a city, by the way.
And it was that damn Alabama jacket,
right?
And that mohawk. And I guess that's what I get for growing up.
I don't think the Alabama jacket was the reason they kept stopping you, but
look at them Alabama fans. Now, so that was it's kind of my go to. Story when it comes to high school and betting. So that's how I've learned never to bet with somebody on stakes. You just bet
just
on
money.
The games and money.
Legally,
straight
of course.
Money. Right, legally, of course. So, man, it's been...
Life's too short to bet the under.
We've had a fantastic show today.
Right, absolutely.
Pruitt and them did a good
job.
We
always have a fantastic show.
I know. But Pruitt and them did a good job down in Atlanta. Tennessee players handled themselves well. Nick Saban handled himself just like we thought he was going to handle himself. David and Chris were great. Love Christopher Gabriel. David Cloninger covers South Carolina. Missouri's Barry Odom's at the podium right now, which means we'll get some Drew Locke quotes tomorrow for you guys.
Oh, boy.
To enjoy. Vanderbilt.
QB1.
We'll take the stage tomorrow. A couple other ones.
Still got Morris went, didn't he? No. Chad Morris
Chad,
went.
Mad Chad yeah, Morris Chad is already Morris gone. Went. Why am I lost and who's going on tomorrow?
Gus, did Gus go?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, Auburn still hasn't gone. And Matt Luke went yesterday.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. We'll get to the rest of them tomorrow. My head's all fried from today. But it's, continuing on. Continue rolling. We'll wrap up SEC Media Days tomorrow. We'll talk. I had to submit my predictions for the year when it comes to first team and second team all SECs and wins and losses and who the champion be. We'll discuss all those, my picks and everything tomorrow. This has been It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.